Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. It's the only way.
Wake up late. Now everybody. Wake up late. Everybody. Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this
place. Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody. I said one, two, three.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. It's July 14th, isn't it? Yeah, it's July 14th. We got a great show for you today. I'm Dougie Almeida, and hey, we this is the beautiful thing about the new setup here, where we're going through the Gonzo Radio team here, but now we can bring in comics and talent from all over the country, not just here from South Florida. So let me bring in our guest today. First, you've seen him in some of my favorite movies I've ever seen. Our first guest today is Joseph D'Onofrio's here. Let's hear it for Joe.
Hey, that's it. Come on, man. Like an applause, or something in there. What's going on, guys? How you doing? I'm Joseph D'Onofrio. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And Dave Siegel, everybody. And I have a very funny comic good friend of mine, Dave Siegel, is here as well. And, how you guys doing?
Better than you, man.
I know. You see me doing this? I got like a pinched nerve in my neck.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the pinched nerve. When you first asked me to do this, I didn't think you were going to make it. I thought this was canceled.
Yeah, I'm a COVID statistic.
By now, and I was off the hook.
Well, things are going great, my friend. I got my results from my COVID today, and I'm non-detected.
That's so you never had it, right, Joseph? I mean, you've never had it. You're negative.
Hey, listen, I don't swing that way. What do you mean, had it? And COVID. Oh, okay.
Yeah, COVID.
I thought you meant it. I thought you meant a guy for there for a second. I mean,
no.
You know, I don't swing that way, Dougie, all right? Not that there's anything wrong with it.
In the second part of the show, we get into homosexuality and what we've done. As an actor, I mean, again, Joe, you've been in some of my favorite movies. You've been in, Goodfellas, Bronx Tale, which is, who doesn't love that movie? And, matter of fact, we were just talking about that scene, that famous scene in the bar where the bikers go in, and who doesn't love that scene with all the violence going on in our world today? That scene where the bikers walk into that bar.
Now you can't leave.
Yeah, that was the greatest line.
Well, now you can't leave.
Now you, it was awesome. How old were you when you were doing that movie, dude?
I think I was like 19, 20. But you got to remember me about my stand-up comedy, Dougie.
We'll get to
my
that.
My new show's coming up. July 25th, baby.
It's a Zoom program, right? You're gonna be doing...
No, we're doing it live.
We're doing it live in a packed house, baby. It's going to be wall to wall people. No social distancing.
Live. No masks allowed.
That's it. No mask allowed, and you have to cough every 2 seconds.
And sneeze onto the person next to you.
There you go.
That's awesome. Yeah, but let's think about it. Like, and Dave, by the way, I don't know if Dave's ever acted. Like, I've been getting more into acting. Joe, I don't know if you saw that. I've been doing some commercials. I just shot a hair replacement commercial. I was a narrator for it. It's pretty cool.
Before or after?
Yeah, and I did a Fox Sports commercial that was during the Super Bowl, which was pretty cool.
Well, that's the same thing as Goodfellas.
It is. It's kind of right there. So, Joe, from acting to getting into comedy, because I remember you and I talked when you were starting to do comedy, right?
Yeah.
We talked a little about and then what caused that? What made you say, you know what, I want to do comedy now?
Well, I've been on a couple of sitcoms. I was on a show called Are We There Yet, where I played Staten Island Mike for 2 seasons. Plus, I did other sitcoms and stuff. And I don't know, a lot of my friends were doing stand-up, and they told me, you know, I should do it. They're like, oh, yeah, you're an actor, you're on TV, but can you do stand-up? And I was like, I don't know, I think I could do it. Sure. And, you know, and it was like a dare thing to do. And then I remember calling you up because I was like a little petrified. I really didn't have any material. So, you know, I just fell into it, and then I did it, and I love it, man. It's great. It's totally different than acting, but because it's a live audience and you have to interact with the audience, you got to learn how to ride the laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can say this, which one do you prefer? Like, is there a preference? Is like, or are they just completely different? They just have, they fit their own peg, or they fit their own hole for you.
Well, I like the acting better, basically, because, you know, you put it on film and it lasts forever. I mean, stand up, you do it, and then you got to keep doing it over and over again, different shows. I mean, there's goods for both and bads for both. I mean, it's great stand up because it's a live audience, and it's like you get such a feeling of being like, yeah, and you get off that stage and you make people laugh. It's a great feeling. It's really nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Dave. Now, Dave, I think out of the comics, Dave's probably been, out of all of us, done more and done bigger theaters and more of the stuff and open for bigger people. Dave, you've been doing it comedy now for at least over 15, 18 years, right?
I have my 20-year anniversary, I think last year or something. That's like 21 now, yeah.
If you were going to pick one moment on the stage, what would have been like the best comedy night or one of the best shows? And you could, you know, bring up a couple.
To be honest, dude, the first time you get like a paid road gig, that was pretty monumental. Just to tell yourself that you're a professional comedian, not even, you might not be one, but just to say, well, technically I'm getting paid to do this now. And, you know, that could take a year. That was a big one. I think I had a hosting weekend at the DC Improv, but the cherry on top was my first paid road weekend. The headliner was Brian Regan.
Wow, great comic.
So, I was hosting, Dennis Regan, his brother, was featuring, and Brian Regan was headlining. So, I mean, that was amazing. Then, you know, I got to do like the Nokia Theater in New York. It was like 2,200 people. That was pretty amazing. I did Montreal. I opened for Richard Lewis, David Alan Greer, Kevin Nealon, Jim Gaffigan. Yeah, I don't know. I'll never grow tired of the fact that I get paid to do this. I still get a kick out of it.
It's interesting what you say about professional, because some people, you know, amateur comics will put comic or comedian in front of their Twitter handle and stuff like that. And, you know, I always said, who cares? You know, some people are like, that's not, I'm like, let people do whatever they want. You know what I mean? Whatever makes them feel good. But, you know, but that's the difference. I remember the first time I got paid, because I used to host at the New York Comedy Club in Boca Raton, and they didn't pay the hosts. But it was just exciting to be working on a pro show, right? Mm-hmm. And not at a bar with TVs on and people yelling for the football game. But so that was it. But I remember the first time I got paid, I think that was pretty big. Like, oh, I can't, you know, I'm not going to pay my mortgage with this, mind you. But it was just $20. Who cares? You know?
Exactly. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, nobody goes from nothing to, you know, hookers and coke, but there's a pretty big bridge in between the two.
But it was just $20. Who cares?
Exactly. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, what's that? It goes from nothing to,
Who's talking?
Hookers and coke.
I hear the show. Like,
that's you. That's your replay. Somebody's got it on their, somebody mute the computer. I'm like, who the hell?
Hey, what are you doing, Dave? Stop playing playing on Facebook, man.
Now I know it was Joseph.
wasn't he saying something about being professional, for God's sake?
I think it was Jim Gaffigan. He's on his phone on my couch over here. Hey, Jim, crazy. Turn it off. Turn it down over there. Right?
Jim's over there going, it wasn't me. speaking of professional, Joey, you know, Joseph, when you did and your comedy, I'm not, I should say acting, what was that first role? You know, because acting's really tough. I mean, all the auditions and stuff, it's crazy. But what was that first big role, or even the first thing that you said, hey, I think this is going to be big. You know, I think this is going to be a career for me.
I think it was when I did Are We There Yet, like 12 years ago. To be honest with you, when I first started acting, I started with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I did a bunch of other things. I really wasn't into acting the way I was. I got into it 10 years ago. I fell into acting. I got lucky. I basically played myself in a lot of different roles. So I really didn't take it serious in the beginning. But as 10 years ago, or like,
did
yeah,
you do a heterosexual?
I started taking it serious. Yeah, so 10 years ago.
Yeah, and then from that, like the what was which I guess which one came Goodfellas came right first? It wasn't Goodfellas before, yeah. So it was that like the first real the big movie? Was that the first big movie role?
Well, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was pretty big. I had a small role in that.
Were you in the Turtles?
No, I was a hoodlum. I robbed a lady's pocketbook, and the turtle tripped me, and then we ran into Central Park, and I was like, "What the hell was that?" And then Casey Jones hit us with a hockey stick. And then
was it a mixed race gang that you're in?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't want to go
with Fellas and then Dungle Fever.
So they had to mix it up a little bit, right?
Yeah, something like that.
So you were in
then
Jungle.
Then came Goodfellas, then came Jungle Fever, then came Night in the City, then came, you know, Bronx Tale, and then a couple other big ones after that.
Now these are the good thing too about you said once you do a film it's there so the residuals are great, right? I mean that's got to be, you know, it's almost like a musician. You know, some of these I won't mention the person's name, but this person had one album, they still live off, they actually live off the residuals off the album. It's amazing, you know. So
yeah, well, some of the residuals are okay, and some of them go down. I mean, you know, after a while, I mean, they go down to nothing really. To be honest with you, depending on the film, I mean.
But
I don't. I try not to depend on that. I try to always keep working. I got a movie called The Birthday Cake coming out with Val Kilmer. I'm on a show on Amazon Prime right now called Gravesend. There's 4 episodes. I'm in 3 and 4, and they're getting ready to do 6 more. We start in production as soon as this pandemic is over.
Val Kilmer's back. Where is he?
Yeah, he's got a voice box. He had throat cancer, so he did it with a voice box. The guy's incredible, man. So really? Such a pleasure to work with him.
I didn't know that. I didn't know he suffered. He dealt with throat cancer.
Hey Joseph, yeah. What any big roles that you didn't get? I always find that interesting. Like, were you ever up for something that you wound up seeing in the theater, and you were like, "Hey, I was up for that one."
Oh yeah, the guy from Entourage, Turtle. I remember that guy, Jerry Ferraro, which is a fabulous actor, got the part, and yeah. I remember watching and it being like, "I did the audition the same way." But I felt like I was in New York. He was in L.A. So I think maybe that's why maybe they leaned more towards him. But there's a couple other things. I mean.
So you would have been banging Meadow Soprano.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, whatever happens, happens. I mean, I just keep it moving. I try not to.
Numbers game. That's interesting, though.
I
got to get on a show with you, Dave. I got to get you in one of my shows.
You want to be on one of my shows to get me in one of your movies? Done.
You know Steve Marshall?
I do.
I got Steve Marshall. I got Aaron Berg. I got Martin Chadwick and me. We're doing the show July 25th on Zoom.
Awesome, man. That's a great lineup.
Steve Marshall's a funny guy in Aaron Berg. You know Aaron Berg?
Yeah. We had Aaron doing some shows here. I've labeled Aaron Berg as like the modern day Dom Rickles.
So what do you think? You think that's a good lineup or what, Dougie?
Fantastic.
Where's it taking place?
Zoom, baby. It's on Zoom.
In the studio. And they're going to have everything from Bronx Tale in the background.
I'm doing mine in my house, basically, without the background. Steve's doing it in his house. He's got a mic. He's got it all set up. Yeah. Aaron's got a setup down in his basement, he said.
That's great. What
stand-ups are doing now, dude. They got stuff all ready to go.
Yeah, that's the way you got to do it. You know, as for Steve Marshall, he is a really good friend of mine, a mentor. The first time I ever hosted, my first hosting gig at the New York Comedy Club was for Steve Marshall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I love Steve Marshall, man. He is a gentleman and a great guy. And, you know, he actually told me this the other day on A Bronx Tale. I don't know if I should be telling you this, but he was the main character's school tutor.
Really?
He was a teacher.
Oh, I thought you meant in the movie. I'm like, there was a school tutor in that movie?
No, because everybody was young. The kids were like 15, 16 years old. So they had to have teachers. And Steve Marshall was one of the teachers.
You know, it's so funny because you ever see that? What? Did I just lose you guys?
No, I'm here.
You ever see that? There's a great show on, I think it's either Netflix or Amazon, called Love. It's a Judd Apatow show. And the main character is like a comedy writer, but his gig for money is that he's a tutor on the set. for like the little childhood star.
They probably wrote it because of Steve Marshall.
Maybe. I hope he's writing that thing.
I'll tell you this funny story. If you know Steve Marshall, he's a beast. Like, he goes on stage, he's a nut. Like he's just energy. And we have my shows at Tavolino's. And so Steve was like, I'm in town, let me do a show. I go, well, I already have a headliner that night. I have Giannis Pappas, very funny comic, very like, great, comedic actor, and great. And so I had Steve open for Giannis, and it was, it was just crazy because, Steve was just like nuts. And then Giannis had, and God bless Giannis, because I don't know how many other people could follow Steve Marshall with his energy, But Giannis did a great job, but I don't think Giannis liked me that night. He was a little pissed.
I think Bobcat, what's his last name?
Goldthwait.
He would love to follow Steve Marshall because he'd come on and be like, I don't have as much energy as him.
It would definitely take a character, But, and that's the difference. I'm not a high energy comic, and it's weird when you got to follow somebody with high energy, It's weird to displace that. Dave, again, being the more veteran comic here on the show, any advice like you could do for that? Like, I personally always feel to reset, like, I'll come out if that ever happens and be like, well, I'm not going to be like that guy.
So it's funny because Joseph was talking about earlier, about nerves and everything. And like, and I always think like these comedians that worry about like the music that they're coming up to. And Doug, you mentioned like credits that people either feign or fake, or like, you say like, if you played an extra in Goodfellas, you're like, you know him from Goodfellas. And like, the bottom line is 1 minute into your set, none of that shit matters, right? The audience is judging you on your first bit. You better get there. To be honest with you, I never subscribed to headliners that, don't want someone that's too loud, or don't want someone that's black if they're black, or don't want someone that's Jewish if they're Jewish. If you're headlining and you're worried about the person that's in front of you, you shouldn't be headlining.
Yeah.
You control that room. If you're low tempo, then bring the room down. If you're high tempo, then get it up. I just don't like the excuses. Like, you're headlining for a reason. Like, I know a very good comedian that I love who is doing very well right now, who intentionally does not want a feature that's too funny.
Yeah.
And I just think that's sad. It's like, don't you want the people that are coming to see your show to have the best experience possible? Like, don't you want them to be like, hey, I saw three great comedians tonight.
Yeah.
Like, and the sad thing is, this comedian is so good. He's so funny and doing so well. I just wish he would enjoy it more, and not worry about that stuff.
Well, obviously you haven't mentioned his name or the person's name, I don't want it. But my point is that, what do you think causes that? Because I'm the same way, I produce shows, and when somebody says that, oh, I don't want somebody who's fat in front of me, or I don't want they're interested in who's opening. And I'm like, because I personally feel if somebody kills in front of me, no matter where I'm at in the show, I love it because, then I know I just have it that much easier. I got to do my job. It's up to me now.
Yeah, up your game. If someone kills it in front of you, then you better kill it too, because that crowd is on. Like, you have no excuses.
Now, in your Zoom show, Joe, it's on July 25th, right? You said?
Yeah.
Are you closing the show? Is there going to be is there a lineup?
I got Martin Chad's coming up first, Steve Marshall second, Aaron Berg's third. I'm closing it out.
Cleaning up.
There you go, man. And how is everybody doing similar time, or is it like a show where people doing more or less time?
Martin's doing like 10, Steve's doing 30, Aaron's doing 30, and I'm doing like 20.
Wow.
And then we're having a question and answer at the end of it.
There you go.
And if you want a ticket, you got to go to josephdonofriocomedy.com.
There you go. And
I'll get for you, buddy. I'll do it all there. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, you guys are – now, Dave actually lives in Florida now, right? I guess, I don't know what
– I mean, I got here March 1st. I escaped New York with – still had my place there, but we have no plans of going back.
Yeah, a lot of people – and Joe, you're not in New York City, right? You're in Staten Island, I think?
No, I'm in Brooklyn, New York.
You're in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Well, Brooklyn's been in the news a bit. How's the streets of Brooklyn been?
It's fine. I'm
yeah.
Fine by me. Yeah, I'm in the Bensonhurst Dyker Heights area, so I mean I'm not really having any problems. I haven't seen any protesters or nothing. So.
So you don't, are you a fan of De Blasio?
I don't talk about politics or New York, but thanks for asking.
Neither do I.
He has a beautiful name, but I like his name.
Yeah, well, he changed it back in 2009. But yeah, well, it's just there's a lot of people. It's just people are concerned. I have clients, you know, my financial planning business that live in the city, and they're concerned. They're just like, hey, we hope the city can get this shit straight, and so do I because I love New York. And to me, I love going to New York. Usually once a year, I go there for a week or two to do shows, just to experience it. And
they're doing a lot of outside shows. I'm doing a show outside in Staten Island Saturday night, in a parking lot somewhere.
Right.
Someone called me up yesterday, like, you want to do a show in Staten Island? And he was like, yeah, what's the price? What are you giving me? Whatever, we worked it out. And you're doing a show. He wanted me to host. I was like, I don't like hosting. I'd rather just go up, do my time, boom, 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 and get out of there, you know, or hang out. So we're going to do it in the parking lot.
You're just going to get there and then just going to jump you. There's no show.
Get there, you know, do your show, and then like, should be fun. But, you know, I think New York, to be honest with you, I think it's going to be shut down again. I mean, I don't think they want it to be open. I mean, too many politics and stuff going on right now.
It's crazy. You know, it really is crazy what's going on. And we just hope because, again, it's one of the greatest cities in the world, man. And we got to get things back to normal in that sense.
Yeah, thank God upstate's opening because I'm actually was at it before I came on here. I was doing a reading for a TV pilot called Almost Made. That we're doing upstate New York, July 27th, we start. That's why I took the coronavirus test. And basically, there's so many protocols you have to follow now just to shoot something now. I mean, you gotta hire a guy just to clean every day, clean everything.
Yeah.
You finish a shoot, they clean. You start a shoot, they clean. And everyone's quarantined. When we go up there, we take a test, and then they're quarantining us all for the week that we're up there. So it's going to be weird.
I know when I get these audition things, you know, especially for, for my agent, it's big, you know, they say all this protocol that they said, you got to make sure, like you said, they tested, like, you know, like I'm doing my antibody comedy tour that starts this week. Mm-hmm. I'm heading to Wichita. And I was thinking if I could find other comics who had COVID that have now don't, you know, we could just join our antibody comedy tour. We're the safest act to hire.
You know what I mean? We're not like proof that you you had to provide your test results to do that.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I mean, you said like in the acting stuff. If you wanted to go to the audition, or you had, I think like I shot a Black Eyed Peas video, and you had to you know show that you didn't have it or something like that. When everything came out, it was just nuts. You mentioned hosting on a comedy show. I was just having this conversation with a venue that we're going to start booking shows at. And, they had the impression like just putting anybody up. But I said, no, I'm the old fashioned guy when it comes to a comedy show. I think the host needs to be just like the headliner. The host has to be super duper.
Yeah.
I think that's the hardest spot.
Very
on the show,
important.
Right?
The host,
very important. Yeah.
The host in New York City often gets, you know, paid more than the other people. If it's like a showcase show.
That's the way it is in New York, Chicago, a lot of places. But you go in a lot of, you know, other, like down in Florida, obviously it's different. They put, you know, the more rookie person up on the show. Well, here's some things, guys. Part of the, it's great to get to chat with you guys, but here's some things. And like we said, I don't like, we won't get political, right, Dave? You and I, we'll save that for Facebook.
Dougie, we can get as political as you want, buddy.
No. Here's my question.
Dougie, let me interrupt you. Joseph. Who would you say of me and Dougie, just based, you know, we haven't gotten political at all, but if you had a guess, who's like the left-wing borderline commie libtard and who's the right-wing borderline alt-right nut job?
No comment.
He's sticking to his guns, man.
I like those guns.
Yeah. See? Well, see, that's a good thing.
I think you're both independent.
Well, yeah.
I'm telling you, one of us, I mean, those are obviously extreme examples, but one of us is one and one of us the other. I just wanted to see if you can guess.
Now, here's the beautiful thing about this. You know, Joey Medina, who's a good friend of mine, one of the original Latin Kings of comedy, I love Joey Medina. We're super friends. He is ultra liberal and I am conservative, but yet we're still great friends. And when I go to LA, people don't believe it. They're like, oh my God, how are you guys? Because we can still differentiate. You know, we have our own beliefs. We have our own feelings. You know, we just don't attack each other. You know, we keep it simple and it can be done. But, you know, here's the thing regarding comedy. Here's some of the things I want to ask you guys, bullet points. Number one, will comedy survive COVID? You're doing a Zoom show. That's how you're getting through this, Joseph, right? And that we're doing these types of things we're doing. But can comedy survive it?
I personally don't think it is going to survive as we know it, I hate to say. I think, look, maybe in like 2 years when this is, there's a vaccine and the vaccine has been spread and et cetera, we can go back to the way it was, people going to comedy clubs, buying tickets, selling out 500 seats for a weekend. But, you know, for better or for worse, there's going to have to be some sort of evolution to the comedy industry to compensate for what's going on right now. And just look at what Joseph's doing. Like, that's an example of evolving because he has no choice, you know? Can't have a show in a comedy club, so he's doing the best he can. He's doing a Zoom, and he's hopefully going to make a lot of money from it. So that's, it's going to have to evolve as an industry as well, not just one-off shows. Like, I know this New York comedian you might know, Dougie, named Jay Nod, who's like an innovative guy, and he's doing like a almost like drive-up comedy. He turned like a diner's parking lot into a drive-in movie theater of sorts with a stage. Everyone's in their car, but the comedians are out there. You know, Bert Kreischer and Jim Gaffigan, they're doing drive-in movie theaters. Our buddy Dave Williamson's opening for Bert Kreischer. And, you know, they're selling out. So these are innovative people that are like, what can I do now to still do comedy, to still make a living, to still make money? And they're doing it. And, you know, you got it. I don't believe in complaining, man. You got to
persevere through that. As a comic, like Joseph said earlier, the high for us is being on that stage and getting that reaction. Right. Yeah. That's why we do the stand up. When you can make a few hundred people laugh their ass off, that's better than any drug, you know, where I stand. But when you watch these drive throughs, right, the drive in movie theater type setups, it's kind of hard. Right. You know,
I'm not saying it's going to be as good or as fun or as pure as it once was. But like, look, as stand up comedy, as stand up comedians, we kind of sort of resent, I'm going to speak for us, but tell me if you disagree. We kind of sort of resent those like Instagram stars that take weekends at comedy clubs, right? Because they can sell them out.
Right.
And they, you know, they're not comedians per se. The comedy club knows that they're, I never really had the animosity towards them because look, that's evolution of the industry. You know, like, if you're going to complain that a YouTube star is taking your weekend, a weekend away from a true comedian at a comedy club, then you need to up your social media presence. That's what society is dictating is popular now. So you can either evolve or you can complain. So same thing now. You got to evolve with it and figure out a way to be a comedian in the age of COVID. I mean, we're smart people. We're writers. Fucking create something.
Yeah, that's like me. I'm like one of those fake comedians, you know. I just got
exactly.
I tell you the truth. People get mad at me too because stand-up comics, get mad that I was doing Dangerfield and Broadway Comedy Club, and they're like, Joe D'Onofrio, he's an actor. He's not a comedian. They're like, yeah, but he sells out the joint. He gets good comics, and you know, I think I'm pretty funny. In the beginning, I was like, I was just learning. I mean, I did like, this is like going to be like my 9th or 10th show. So I'm still learning, but that's what I am. And like you said, you know, whatever it is, you know, God bless them. If they sell out, let them sell out. You just got to step up your game and write a little more.
Exactly. Step it up. And you know what? People resent the fact that others didn't take the exact same route that they did.
Yeah.
You know, if you were selling out, you wouldn't be worried about it.
Yeah. Like I don't do open mics. Like people are like, oh, you got to do open mics. You got to get your time. You got to get your stage presence. And I'm like, I don't really like doing open mics because I'd rather just do shows. And, you know, I'm used to doing shows. I'm not used to doing open mics.
Well, I think Dave would agree with me with this because of where you've been on the acting. you know, that just basically pushes you through years of open mic work, you know, because you have that presence anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I didn't do stand-up comedy, but I used to be a spokesperson for one of the largest financial planning firms. So I used to do these seminars in front of 500 people.
Yeah.
You know, so that, you know, I didn't do comedy, but at least I had that, you know. So some people just have, and some people just natural, you know, some people just nat, you know, they don't need to spend 3 years on an open mic circuit. Some people just have the ability. Some people are just funny. You know, yeah. it's like being cool, you know. You can try to be cool, you know what I mean? But you just either have it or you don't on those types of things.
But I do think it's going to survive, Dougie.
Yeah.
Definitely going to survive. This thing's going to disappear sooner or later.
Well,
it's going to be gone, but kaput, you know what I mean?
The question is, like all these comedy clubs, you know, are they going to survive?
No, they're not going to survive. I think they're going to close down. What's going to happen is they're going to close down. And then they're going to reopen up. If they're smart, they close down already. And then wait till this thing's over, like you said, the vaccine comes, and then open back up, and it's going to come again. I think these drive-in things are maybe rent out a Broadway theater and social distance everybody, and maybe do a comedy club, comedy show there. You have to, like, reinvent the comedy. Yeah. You know how to see comedy now.
Yeah. Dave has a good point, though, because there are a lot of comedy clubs and like restaurants, bars, etc., that won't survive this. And, you know, and there will be those that do. And, you know, and I just like anything else, like we had millions of comics. Right. I mean, we've seen so many. There's been a glutton of comics. Yeah. Right. Compared to the 80s. So same like in 2008, 2009, during the financial crisis, as a financial planner, we had a bunch of financial planners. But once the financial crisis came, it thinned the herd, you know, and you may see the same thing here. You're going to see a lot of people that won't survive it as a comic, right? They just won't be able to survive it. So you're not going to have as many comics, probably more. You have a little more spots available. Who knows? It's a bit of a cleansing. Similar to that, fellas, you know, just like comedy, entertainment, sports, you know, the sports industry, you know, we're watching a similar fate to the sports industry. Like I feel really bad. I have a good friend of mine whose son's supposed to go play college football next year.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? Could you imagine you work your ass off in high school, you're trying to get a scholarship, and now all of a sudden you may not even have football. You may not even be able to go play a sport in colleges. You know, it's amazing what's happening in colleges. You know,
my niece is just graduated from high school, got into Duke, one of the best schools in the country.
Great school.
She's going to go to school, thankfully, but just found out that, you know, they're going to have one kid per room, their roommates. So it just, you know, it's crazy. She didn't have a prom. She had like a pseudo graduation. It's changing college. You know, college has changed forever. So, you know, it's really interesting. Like the whole roommate experience is such a part of college, and not to mention, you know, such a way to meet people, to meet friends. I mean, your own room in college as a freshman, it seems weird. But you know, and that's obviously sports is entwined with that. You know, like I have a good friend who's a athletic director for a D1 school. And, you know, he's very nervous. You know, it's a huge part of the money making for these schools to survive. You got to convince kids to come. My sister and brother-in-law, the parents of the, you know, two college students were discussing, listen, if they're told to go to school virtually, should we just tell them to take the semester off? Like, are we really going to pay thousands and thousands of dollars for them to learn on a computer? Like, why not wait a year? Save that money, like you're just delaying college for a year and then go back when all this is smoked up.
Yeah, don't go to college. Just travel this year. Oh shit, can't travel. Okay, let's.
Yeah, you're supposed to be abroad in Italy. That was canceled. Like it takes a whole effect.
It's almost like the world's on pause. You know, like this whole the only good news is, as you said, a vaccine and everything. This warp speed initiative. You have companies like Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, all these companies are coming out, and we think we might have something sooner than later when it comes to that. And then you got to have people that want to take it, you know, and then you got to have people. And if everybody keeps getting it the way it is, we might end up getting herd mentality, you know, herd immunity. You know what I mean? Who knows? I mean, the only good thing about this virus, 97% of the people who do get it don't seem to be that bad. And hopefully that continues. God bless. Speaking of that, the last little point, I want to talk about boycotts. You know, the boycott cancel culture. I mean, you know, we had the guy, the CEO of Goya, come out and praise President Trump. And now a bunch of people are boycotting Goya Foods. Now, I am Hispanic. Most people, sorry, Joseph, most people think I'm Italian, but I'm actually Portuguese Spaniard. You know, it's interesting. You know, the sales of Goya have quadrupled since this has occurred, which is interesting.
That's true. That was like, remember, that happened to Chick-fil-A also. I think that the CEO of Chick-fil-A said something about like a marriage being between man and a woman, and everyone wanted to, not everyone, but a lot of people wanted to protest it, and their sales just skyrocketed because everyone else was
like, I mean, come on, Chick-fil-A, dude. How could you not want to eat Chick-fil-A? Have you ever tried the Popeye? Have you guys done the taste test between Chick-fil-A and Popeye sandwiches?
Chicken sandwiches, man. Popeye's is my meal ticket for white guy indifferent, Dougie. Don't forget.
Yeah. I have yet to eat the Popeye's chicken sandwich. Am I missing it?
Have you really not had a Popeye's chicken sandwich?
I have not. I mean, I've driven by a couple times. I'm like, I want to stop someday. You know, my mom's scared because my fat ass will go eat one and I'll be there every day. I'll be going to fucking Popeyes.
I think it lives up to the hype. One of the few things.
Have you had it, Joseph? Have you had the Popeyes chicken sandwich?
I've never eaten Popeyes in my life. I'm sorry.
Really?
Yeah. Wait, Joseph, are you like first generation?
My parents were born here.
All right.
My mother's from Hungary. My great grandparents are from Hungary and Italy and Italy. How about yourself?
My wife is first generation Italian. So she's like one of those will not eat jarred sauce. But you're like, she's legit. You
know? I don't know. Popeye's never, I don't know. There used to be a Popeye here in Brooklyn. It was very dirty. So ever since I've seen that.
I can do it. I can indulge like that. My wife doesn't eat like American food. Okay. Like, you never eat like macaroni and cheese or like that shit. Like, I love it. But
I used to like Burger King chicken sandwiches back in the day.
The long ones, right?
The long ones. With cheese.
Yeah.
Cheese, no lettuce and tomato, just cheese. Cheese and chicken.
How about when Burger King did the chicken parm sandwich?
I never tried it.
There's
a good one. Favorite specialty fast food feature. Like a, you know, one-time offer of all time. Do you remember the Bullseye Burger?
No. Who was that with?
That was Burger King, I think. Barbecue sauce and onion rings.
In-N-Out got that burger. What is it? Rhino style or something? Or
Animal style.
Animal style, right? Yeah.
It's good. Now,
I admit to something that most people don't, but I like Arby's. And
not bad, yeah.
Yeah, I like the beef and cheddar. But if you ever had Arby's, you got to try the chicken Gordon Bleu sandwich.
Oh, wow.
No, I really don't.
Mine is Three Guys. I like Three Guys.
Yeah.
No, Five Guys. I'm sorry. Five Guys is my favorite.
Three Guys out of business.
Yeah. Five Guys is the best. I love Five Guys.
Speaking of boycotts, Five Guys actually was in the news last week because at one of their locations, the staff would not serve police officers. And I don't know if I'm a cop nowadays. I don't even know if I want to go to a fast food place. I don't know if I trust the fucking food. You know what I mean?
The whole Shake Shack story turned out to be a hoax. Yep. That one?
Yeah. That was not too long ago, right?
Yeah. And people were up in arms about Shake Shack, and then it turns out the cops made it up.
Yeah, that's
yeah, in New York now with the cops, they had this new, they're not allowed to even like touch you when they arrest you. It's like, and they think they just got to, like, give you the handcuffs now and make you, like, lock yourself up or something. It's ridiculous what's going on with this police stuff, man. We need police.
Yeah.
Here's the difference. Ready? And I'm glad we decided not to get political.
Yeah, here comes a liberal.
Anyone that says defund the police as in we don't need police. That's moronic. We need police, as you said. Defund police means redistribute the monies that go to police. Like, personally, I think that, like, these small town police departments don't need armored cars and tanks that a lot of taxpayers pay for. In some cases, they don't, but they always pay for
maintenance. They were donated, Dave, and they were donated, number one. And the livelihood of those machineries are a long time. So most of them were donated because the military is going to scrap them. And, you know, having a military vehicle like that in a police department, it's kind of like owning volcano insurance. You know, you don't need it until you fucking need it. And it's not really costing much. And when you look at the budget on those things, it's very...
When they talk about the militarization of police, that's what they're talking about. Podunk, yeah. Indiana doesn't need a tank. It's just going to scare people. It's just going to make... And I think we all probably know cops. Like, some of them have certain personalities. And you know that some of these cops are, like, at the station, like, begging to use that tank. Just give me an excuse to take that tank out.
Well, you don't want to be the cop who's driving like the old cop car. You know what I mean? You ever see those guys that they have the cops have the new cop cars, but then they have the old cop cars that usually give to the community service guys.
Right.
You always feel bad for those cops that got to drive around the old Crown Victoria. But yeah, you're right. The chokeholds, things like that, you know, hey, it's amazing. You know, when, you know, I used to train with police. I used to train them on the PR-24 sticks and how to basically subdue somebody without cracking their skull up and things like that. So there's always been reform in the sense of trying to, but you're talking about an industry, you're talking about an industry and people that deal with shit every day, you know, and no matter what it is you do, like I spent 30 years of my life to this day advising people on money. Right. So unfortunately I ended up getting this habit of giving advice. You know what I mean? Teachers are like that. Teachers are so used to explaining things to people that they can't get out of that habit of being, you know, in that. So when you're in a field or something, like, you can't help but take on that. You know, it's like the stress and the pressure, you know, this, like the a lot of them commit suicide because of the nonsense they see, you know? And, you know, it's just, and here's the thing, it's a slippery slope. And it's always, I love when you guys say that it's defunding doesn't mean this, but here's the thing, it is the prelude. So when somebody tells me it doesn't mean that, it's amorphic. They still don't know. There's 100 different explanations of what defunding the police means. Ultimately, they want less police. And listen, until when the first person goes out to a domestic dispute, a counselor goes out to a domestic dispute and ends up getting a knife through their neck, no one's going to want to use that type of method again. And here's the problem. People today are less, there's too many people that are crazy. Too many people, you know, the video game concept where people just have no soul anymore. And they don't understand that. And people are just crazier. There's more violence today than there ever has been. So it's just nuts. Like I'm all for the CAMs. You know what I mean? I'm all for, you know, working with them and training them. And what I can't believe is when you have a cop that has 18 different sightings of doing wrong things still on the force. You know, in my job as a financial advisor, if I do something wrong, I'm out. I lose my license. You know, cops should have that same type of problem. Like if they do something wrong, it's three strikes, you're out. You know, now it's time to go work as a bus driver or something like that. I think those are the things that should happen.
Dougie, my opinion on this is basically what the police department is. I know a lot of cops right now, and basically they can't do their job. And what they're doing is, if they get a call, they go to the job, they get there, they let people do whatever they want.
Yeah.
You got a gun, wait till they shoot somebody, then get out of it, let them run away. Shoot somebody and run away. See you later. Goodbye. Yeah. Cops ain't going to want to do their job.
Well,
what basically is going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and people are just going to go crazy. It's like, yeah. You know, what are you going to do? You try to lock somebody up, you get in trouble for doing that.
Yeah, and look in New York, how many people are retiring? They said, we're done. You know, just,
yeah,
you know.
And then they have this new thing, bail reform.
Yeah.
You get locked up for robbing a car. You go to jail. You get out the next day. Some guy just got locked up, I think, for like robbing cars. Got out the next day, killed two people.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of crime, too. They're going in. They're coming out the next day. What do you think? They're not going to do another crime when they come out? They don't got regular jobs. They don't got money. What they should do is, when they get locked up, do like a credit check on them. You know, if they got a little money, they're working. All right, you let them out. If they're not working, they don't got nothing going on, put them in a rehab or something. See if they're on drugs. They need to figure out how to.
Maybe we should start sending them to open mics.
Yeah, there you go.
Got a fucking sense of humor. See if they can tell a fucking joke. Listen, don't kill nobody. Just make people laugh.
Well, did you hear the new one? They want to do this. If you do time in prison, when you get out, they want to put you right on welfare, max, and give you a house to live in New York or wherever you are.
All right. Now I'm going to go commit a crime then. That's my retirement plan.
Yeah, that, I heard that on the news before. Who knows? I don't know if it's fake news or not, but, you know.
G-O-A-N.
All right. My last point today I want to talk about, which was a story that hit us all last week. Jada Pinkett admitted, Jada Pinkett Smith admitted to having an affair on Will Smith.
Yeah, it was Carlton.
Yeah, was it?
Oh, hey. Oh, yeah, but both of
them. Then neither of you can do it. It's...
There you go. You got it.
Oh, there you go. Now, you know, thinking about that now, you're married, Dave. I'm a married man. I've been with my wife for almost a quarter of a century. I think last time you and I spoke, Joseph, you had a girlfriend. I don't know, but you're not married. I know you're not married, right?
I was married.
You were married. Once?
Once, yep.
Okay. Now, do you guys have a really bad, like, breakup story or cheated story, like you were cheated on or you cheated, that you would admit? I mean, a girl broke up with me on Valentine's Day.
Oh, wow.
And I remember in high school,
I just mean she had another guy that asked her out for Valentine's Day. And she, that's it. I'm going with this. It was just too convenient.
Well, the good news of that, this is when I was in college. I had a girlfriend, and this was my second girlfriend, so I kind of took it well. She was my side bitch. But the worst story for me was when I was in high school, I always had overlapping. I was never the kind of guy who would break up with somebody. You know, I'd always like have an overlapping relationship until I got caught.
So you would just cheat on the first one and move to the second one.
I couldn't break up with him. I was just such a nice guy.
Yes.
I was such a nice guy. I just didn't have the heart to cheat on, to break up with him. But I remember I showed up with a hickey. A girl gave me a hickey. Remember hickeys? And I had a hickey, and I had one of those polo shirts on. I was putting the collar up, and I was getting a drink at the water fountain, and my girlfriend looked at me. She pulls down the shirt, and she goes, you know, sees the hickey. Well, you can't explain a hickey, you know what I mean? How many? No one's going to believe the vacuum story, you know?
I got hit with a golf ball.
I was at the driving range with Tiger Woods.
I once had a girl, now that you mention it, Dougie, I had a girlfriend in college who... accused me of cheating on her, and I did. I wasn't involved. That's all I could say. It's like, I'm not. And I'm like, why do you think that? And she's like, it's women's intuition. Right, well, I'm not cheating on you. Then, like, I have no idea how it was, like months later or whatever, I found out that she was cheating on me.
Yeah.
Really just her guilt and like her lashing out, like the best defense is a good offense kind of thing.
Well, that seems to be the way it is. When somebody is suspicious in nature, that's generally because they are acting things out. So their suspicion then comes out because of their own actions. Very true. Which, by the way, today's word, the word of the day is entanglement. Because that's what Jada Pinkett said. She had an entanglement. She didn't call it an affair. She called it an entanglement. I guess his penis got entangled in her vagina, which is interesting. The definition of entanglement, the definition is in the action of fact of entangling or being entangled, complicated or comprising a relationship or situation, an extensive barrier typically made of interlaced barbed wire and stakes erected to impede enemy soldiers or vehicles. Those are the definitions of entanglement.
What did Will Smith say?
They got it all wrong. It's when a woman spreads her legs for a guy that's not her husband.
That's the Urban Dictionary, by the way. What I thought was amazing, he gets on, they go on live or social media and they have a table sit down and she explains what happened and he's sitting there with that face. I mean, his face was on memes, right? You see his face, he's all dejected looking and stiff. I mean, listen, if you're going to cheat on me, I don't want everybody to hear about it. You know,
he had to agree to do that.
I don't know why he did. But listen, I guess if you got that much money, who gives a shit?
That would be the argument for not doing it.
Yeah. But isn't that weird? Like, I watched him on that thing and I'd be like, why did he agree to sit here?
What did he say?
He was basically sitting there like she was explaining that what happened. There was an entanglement. And then a comic out of, I'm trying to remember his name, out of LA, put this great like rap video together, Entanglement. Like she made, he made a music video for a fucking thing.
West Philadelphia, born and raised on a playground.
I want to know who this guy is. Was it a guy or a girl?
He was a musician, right?
No, I remember his name now. He's at
August
a
something.
Oh, the guy she had an affair with. Yeah. He was a musician. And of course, you know, everybody was like, why did he ask whose dick's bigger? Because that's the first thing, you know, if a girl cheats on you, want to make sure that he had a smaller dick than you. Because that then you could deal with it. You know what I mean? If you found out she had an affair with an NBA player, you're like, oh, fuck. You know. Who'd you have an affair with? Charles Barkley. Oh, great. Shaquille O'Neal. The poor guy was sitting there, and I don't know why he agreed to it, but you know, they were a power couple, so
they'll be done.
What was the why did they discuss why she was divulging this?
They wanted to get it out since there were so many different versions of it, right? They wanted to kind of set the record straight of what happened, and to save face, I think she wanted to save face. And he's, you know, he's a good husband. He wanted to, you know, whatever.
He should have dumped her.
Great to bring that up, Joseph. Let me ask you, I'll ask either one of you guys. I guess it could be in two different scenarios. If you're married or if you're just dating somebody, but if you find out, hey, if you're married, and you found out your wife cheats, do you stay married?
No.
I don't.
I would.
You would, Dave?
Yeah.
Can I have your wife's number? I'm only kidding.
My wife's sleeping with a guy from fucking Bronx Tale. Now, Dave, I mean, it's different if you have kids too, because then you got to think of the kids and everything. Yeah. But it's got to be a hard pill to swallow.
Even a girlfriend, if a girlfriend cheats, she's done.
Yeah, well, easier.
Even if I catch you talking to another.
Exactly. Joseph's making the mistake of comparing a girlfriend to a wife. There's kids and houses involved in this little
shit. You know the difference between a girlfriend and a wife?
What's that?
You know the difference between a girlfriend and a wife?
Yeah, a $20,000 ring.
No, 25 pounds.
Very good.
There you go. Well, by the way, guys, it's that time of the show where it's time for Joke Right.
It's a joke, right?
All right. It's time for Joke Right. That's right, everybody. This is where comics compete for the top prize of an array of truly worthless things, but more importantly, the honor to say they've won something. All guests will be challenged to write a joke or jokes inspired by today's headlines on the show. This week's prize is a used above-ground pool and Grandma Joe's bingo ink markers. Brad,
I win this shit. I'm holding you to this.
Yeah, well, I got the underground pool outside. There's no liner. And I got Grandma's bingo card markers in packaged already, ready to go in bubble wrap. All right. So what stories do we have today, Brad?
And now, here are today's stories.
Right. I was going to say play today's stories, but don't worry about it. All right. Here we go. Here's our first story, guys. And again, you don't have to necessarily come up with a joke for everything, but even if it's just off the cuff, let's just try to make the news funny. Our first story, man stacks 485 Jenga blocks in a Guinness record breaking.
And now.
484 was the previous record. So whoever held that record, it was clearly their claim to fame. They're going out to bars saying they hold the record for biggest Jenga. And now they have to be like, I have the second biggest Jenga tower. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? No, you don't. And he can't even say, check the Guinness book, because now it's the other guy.
And guess who she just slept with? The guy who did 485.
I think Jada Pickett Smith's going to put 486 of them in a twat. How's that sound?
And she's going to call, she's renaming it Entanglement Jenga. And
she's going to entangle them inside her twitty titty.
On July 10th, an Arizona man broke Guinness World Record when he stacked 485 Jenga blocks into a tower with a base of a single block.
Wait, on top of one block?
Yeah. Can you imagine? Yeah. That's pretty impressive. I think I might sleep with the guy. That's pretty impressive. And by the way, he broke his own record. He was the one who got 385, which reminds me, that joke, that is a funny joke, David, because that reminds me of there was a lady who was got the record for sleeping with the most men in one movie or one time was 914 men.
Wow.
This it's a true story. Woman had, we did it on the show, 914 men she had sex with, and the 915th guy walked up and went, "Ah, that's all right."
This the Hungarian mother's an actor too.
So all right, we're gonna move to the next story. Our next story is a martial artist completes 152
knee. I like how you're varying these stories, Doug.
I wish we would have had 11 pound weight.
Yeah, I got into this world breaking thing. You know, I'm a martial artist. You know, I've broken boards and stuff.
The 11 pound weight, is that what he had to do to break the record? He's basically just got like a 4 month old child on his leg.
Well, yeah, exactly. He can't just lift his knee. He has to have some sort of, you know, hindrance. But a Pakistani martial artist wearing with several Guinness Book World Records, he never did 485 jingle blocks, but.
That would be funny if his other record had nothing to do with martial arts.
Yeah, he smoked 14 packs of cigarettes while he was doing
it. Also, the biggest domino set in the world.
And he actually had the most hairspray known to man at a Pakistani hair salon. He had 152 knee strikes. Muhammad Rashid, head of Pakistan Academy of Martial Arts, broke the record for the most one-leg contact knee strikes wearing 11-pound ankle weights.
Yes, it was all TSA agents.
How many beef jerkies did he eat while he was breaking them?
Beef
jerkies? I don't know if they have beef jerky in Pakistan.
Yeah, they do. Of course they do, man.
Have you ever went to a 7-Eleven in Pakistan and say you're going to have the beef jerky? I didn't know they did martial arts in Pakistan. Rashid completed 152 knee strikes in a lot of time, beating the previous record of 106, and that guy was a pussy. The martial artist had previously broken other Guinness Book World Records, including fastest time to unscrew 10 bottle caps with nunchucks. How the hell you do that?
How is that even why is that a record? Who thought that should be a record?
I got a question for you guys. Did you ever make homemade nunchucks or nunchucks at home when you were kids? Do you ever take a broomstick or you take like legs of a table and then you put the chains of the never made homemade nunchucks?
If
it does, oh, that's second day. Anyway, here's our next story. This is interesting. Any of you guys ever win lottery money?
No.
A jacket loaned to a friend with 70 in the pocket.
That's the end of that friendship. That's going to court right there.
Hey, Bill, you got any pants I can borrow?
A friend lent his friend a jacket, and in the jacket pocket was a $75,000 winning lottery ticket.
Yeah, a Canadian man who won a lottery jackpot, nearly $75,000 when Canadian dollars is 14 bucks. Said the winning ticket Saturday forgotten for months in the pocket of a jacket he had loaned to a friend. Jose Lima, 69, told the news he got the jacket after loaning it out to a friend and discovering the pocket contained the forgotten ticket back from September 28th of 2019.
Oh, so he got the jacket back. It was his ticket.
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right. So no friendship over. Basically, the friend is just a moron for not checking the pockets.
Yeah, it reminds you of that Seinfeld episode where Kramer had Uma Thurman's number in that jacket. Remember that scene?
Uma Thurman?
Yeah, it was an episode of Seinfeld where he let Bannon borrow his jacket.
Kenny Bannon?
Yeah, Kenny Bannon borrow his jacket, and he says, "Yeah," sold the suit. He sold the suit. I guess he gave it to I don't know what that fucking thing, but he washed it and it was all fucked up.
Let's go.
I feel wonderful. It's something that happens once in a lifetime. It never happens, Lima said. The winner said he plans to use the winnings to buy a cottage where he can go boating. Boy, that guy's a dreamer. Our next story, cat rescued after 2 weeks with head stuck in a plastic jar. Dave has a joke for this one, I could tell. Because Dave loves jokes with cats with plastic jars.
This is just another reason why cats are morons. And you know what? Like, how did it survive anyway if it was stuck in a plastic jar?
I don't know, but it didn't catch COVID.
Now someone's going to be walking around with a plastic jug on their head.
Now the CDC demands, forget the mask, put a plastic jug on your head.
Yeah. Does the article say what the plastic jar was? It would be funny if she like ate whatever was in there for 2 weeks to survive. Like if it was just like a thing of tuna.
Yeah, it was from the home of Jeffrey Dahmer. Animal rescuers in New Zealand said a cat with a plastic peanut butter jar.
Here you go.
Stuck so over its head were captured after 2 weeks of evading rescue.
So it survived on peanut butter for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Boy, I didn't want to see that cat's litter box. Manager of the Metama Animal Trust said the cat with a jar stuck over its head was first spotted about 2 weeks ago in a resident's backyard, but the feline was able to see through the plastic peanut butter jar.
Wow.
Boy, these fucking humans are getting huge.
You know, you're not supposed to use the word retarded anymore, but I think it's okay for cats.
Yeah, because it's not a human.
Right.
Yeah, you can make fun of a retarded cat.
I think so.
England took the cat to the veterinarian and had the jar removed, took him to the vet, and they had to sedate him. Yeah, because cats don't like that. It's like my Jack Russell hates when you try to brush his teeth. And our last story of the day, a naked cowboy chased off by New York City protesters who say he was antagonizing at City Hall. This is a story for you, Joseph, because you're in New York. You ever see the naked cowboy?
Yeah, of course. Love the naked cowboy.
That guy's been in good shape for like 30 years.
They got the naked grandma now, too.
Really?
Oh, wait, someone's trying to rip off the naked cowboy?
Yeah, she's out there. The naked grandma.
Now, wait a minute. Didn't the naked cowboy change not too long ago, maybe like a few years ago? Wasn't it somebody else and they changed it? He handed off?
No, I don't know. I think it's the same guy.
Same guy? And then there was a naked cowgirl, right? And he got mad at her because, you know, obviously she's a hack.
Shtick. Because of his shtick?
I think Dave won. Dave won the contest.
Dave won. Congratulations, Dave. You won the joke right. Because you actually wrote a joke.
Todd Glass has a good bit about above ground pools, where he's like, you know, nothing against anyone that has above ground pools, but you know, why don't you just dig a hole and put the pool inside?
Well, you know, taxes are higher for built-in pools.
Are they really?
Taxes go up more.
I have a pool, but I remember that. I remember when we first moved to Florida from New York. You know, that was the big thing. We had the blow up pool, like when you're kids, you put a little water in it. It was like a bathtub, right? Mm-hmm. And then you'd get then some of the kids would get that big one, you know, the big ass one with that had railings and you can actually kind of swim in. And you thought that was great. And then you had a friend that got a real pool with a slide and a diving board. Can you believe he got a diving board? Oh, when's the last time you swam in a pool, Joseph?
Well, he wears a lot of cologne.
I can't remember.
What kind of cologne are you wearing these days?
I don't wear cologne. I don't like cologne.
You don't wear cologne?
That's half Italian.
I wear cologne or perfume. I have bottles of cologne in my room. I can't even give it away.
You look like a Dracar guy.
Nah, I got I got Giorgio Armani in there. I used to love Obsession when I was a kid. Obsession, yeah. My favorite. Oh.
Calvin Klein won. How about you, Dave? You're a married man. You wear you. Maybe you're like a.
I think I have.
You're a Stetson guy.
Polo. I can't remember the name.
That's Polo. He's a Polo guy.
Kenneth Cole, maybe that's it.
There you go.
Kenneth Cole. I don't even think he makes cologne. Kenneth Cole.
Oh, he makes it.
He does.
Is it Kenneth Cole racist? Oh, that's Tommy Hilfiger. Well, anyway, guys, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I want to thank my guest today, Joseph D'Onofrio.
Thank you for having me.
You're my pleasure, buddy. Thanks for coming. And Dave Siegel. And don't miss Joseph's Comedy Zoom special with him Aaron Berg, fucking Steve Marshall. Who else is on that show?
You got to go to josephdenofriocomedy.com to find out.
There you go, guys.
$30 a ticket. That's all it is. $30. Come on.
$30.
That's it. And you can mirror it onto your TV. You got as many people in there as you want. Invite the cats, the dogs, anybody you want.
There you go.
Coke habit he's feeding here.
Yeah.
And bring that cat. Bring the cat with a fucking peanut butter jar on his head.
He's coming.
There you go. And how about Dave? How about you? What's going on with you, man? Any shows coming up?
I have not had a show since March 4th or 5th, something like that.
Isn't that crazy? Like, yeah, like I'm doing a show. I'm going to, I'm going to be a,
of my life since I started in 2000. I'm doing a short film coming out, and I'm producing a documentary on Court TV. It's going to be out this summer.
That's right. You were casting people in LA. I saw.
Yeah.
Right. You're doing that. That's awesome. And I'm going to be at the Looney Bin in Wichita this Thursday through Saturday, and then the Looney Bin in Tulsa next Wednesday through Saturday. It's funny when you haven't done the show in a long time, because I had to watch my videos just to remember my set. I was like, look, I forgot that joke.
You suck, Dougie. I only say that because I know I would too.
I'm telling you, it's really weird. But anyway, guys, thanks for joining us today. Don't forget, we're here every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Right on the Wake and Play with Dougie Show fan page. You can also catch us on Gonzo Radio on YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie and on Instagram at Wake Up Dougie Show. You can follow me at Dougie Dangerous. God bless. Next week we will not have a show because I'm going to be out of town, but we'll be back the week after with an all new show. Guys, thanks again for joining us. We appreciate it. God bless you guys. Stay safe and well. And I'm going to take it back to my producer, Brad. Thank you, Brad, for being there today and helping us with everything. You guys stay well and safe. God bless. Take care. And keep laughing.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And yellow colors of a thousand sunsets. They travel to the world on a silvery light. People of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. Came a sound from inside. Thick beam of light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. They passed the limits of imagination to the door, to the world. Journey of a thousand lifetimes with the children of